The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you.
The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God, for you are subject to the same condemnation? And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we receive corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise." Good morning. Peace be with you. Thank you. As we celebrate this great feast, Christ, the King of Peace, Christ, the King of the universe, our greeting that we exchange of peace is really truly caught up in what it means to be a king. Our definition of peace is the fullness of our lives in union with God. And isn't that what every king wants for their people? He wants them to experience, and the people want to experience, a fullness of their lives in union with their king, who gives them a land of freedom, gives them the opportunity to be secure on their borders, give them that sense of true peace. But we realize the kings aren't always about their people. In fact, most kings, almost by definition, take from their subjects. We see it in history. Certainly, we see it in the sacred scriptures. Did kings take from families the sons to fight their battles? Kings take not only crops, but land, in order that their glory may be known and that they may reign in a way that everyone looks to them in awe and wonder. And Jesus is no different than any other king. Jesus, too, takes from us. He takes our stony hearts and gives us a tender heart that is disposed to his love. He takes our deaf ears and opens them to the joy of the good news. He takes our blindness and gives us eyes of faith that long for him. Yes, Jesus will take everything that we're willing to give him, and he will transform it and give it back to us so that we may have the fullness of our lives in union with him. And the greatest things that Jesus does, above all the others that he is willing to do for us, is that from his throne, which was erected 3 feet approximately above the earth, the throne of his cross, as he spoke from that cross, as he acted upon that cross, he gave us the two greatest promises of his kingship. The first is that he would take our sins. He would take our brokenness, our vulnerability, and give us his mercy. And he would take what we fear the most, death, and he would give us and transform it into his resurrection. If you think of the cross as the place for which Jesus gives his inaugural speech, and we look at the last 7 words that he speaks from there, it's full of his promise. It's full of what he asks us to give him, so that he may transform it into subjects who are not only worthy, but can share in the fullness of his kingdom. "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Yes, Jesus speaks those words to those who were jeering at him in the gospel today, to the Roman soldiers, to the Jews who are questioning, Who is this man who could do so much for others but yet cannot do anything for himself? But that forgiveness is extended universally beyond time and space to me and to you. For when we don't know what we are doing, when we are choosing against his kingship for our own cause. Jesus speaks from that cross. He says, today you will be with me in paradise. He fulfills that beautiful parable that he tells about the sheep and the goats, right? He says, and he will come, the king, and he will separate them like sheep and goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And the sheep will share in his kingdom while the others are dispersed. How beautifully he fulfills that as he is on his throne of the cross. And on his left is he who reviles him. And on his right, a sheep, the one who desires to be forgiven, trusting that this crucified one will raise him up. Jesus speaks to us, behold your mother. How beautiful he speaks as the king in the promise of his church, a promise of how to live in Mary herself. For in his church reigns truth, the sacramental life of grace, and the transformation of our humanness into the true image and likeness of his kingship. Jesus goes even further as the king on the cross in his words spoken there when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? We know that as the beginning of the psalm prayer that calls to mind the consolation that is needed in the time of our greatest fears and our own despair. And how does the psalm end? But my Redeemer lives. My Vindicator lives. Jesus reminds us that even in our fear, even when we cry out, we will know his power of love. I thirst for every soul, Jesus says, to be a part of my kingdom. I offer myself back to my Father, and my mission is finished, for my death will bring the kingship of eternal life. So what should be our mission this week when we celebrate the kingship of Jesus, the King of the universe? I think it is first and foremost to make a promise to ourselves that we will give him all of ourselves, everything that we have. In fact, I would encourage you to make a list. Make a list of the things you want to give him. Give him your fear and he'll give you faith. Give him your despair and he'll give you hope. Give him your brokenness and he will heal it. Give him your inability to see his power from the cross and he will allow you to embrace it with him. That's the Christmas list you should make. When we prepare to welcome this King of Kings as a child, he took on flesh to be vulnerable like us so that we know that we will become like him in his divinity through his resurrection. Secondly, I think really truly is a mission we should erect his throne in our homes. If you haven't a place in your home where the crucifix is a place for which you can look upon, make sure you do that. It's not just the cross, the wooden throne. It is he who reigns on the throne, the crucified Christ, in his suffering, his side being pierced, that makes us a choice to be on the right or on the left. Do we see him as one who is unable to help us, or do we see him like us in brokenness to be raised up to life? And finally, when you come forward to receive Christ the King in this Holy Eucharist, he humbles himself before us in bread and wine. Be sure you bow with great reverence. Make a throne to be receiving him on, because he desires to give you that tender heart, those opened ears to the gospel, and those eyes of faith. And when you return to your place, ask him for the faith of a disciple, and he'll give you the courage of a martyr. Ask him for the hope of the kingdom, and He'll give you the holiness of saints. And ask Him for the Father's love, and in return, He'll give you His mercy. And I promise, I will pray and do the same.